Peter had pretty much put God in a box of limitations. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible Episode number 297. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. And this is the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. Our reading today is Acts 9 and 10. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love each and every one of those who call on your name. But more than that, you loved us while we were still sinners. You loved us before we even knew you. You loved us from the foundation of the world and sent Jesus to die for our sins so that we would not have to pay the price for them. There's nothing we can do to repay you, Lord, except give you our love and our lives. Whatever we are, whatever we have, comes from you anyway. And because you are love, it is our pleasure to give back to you. Lord, as we read today, speak to us in your perfect way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin. Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still spewing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, seeking letters to the synagogues in Damascus. If he found persons who belonged to the way, whether men or women, these letters would authorize him to take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. During the journey, as he approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven encircled him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice asking him, "Saul, Saul, why are you harassing me?" Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are harassing," came the reply. "Now get up and enter the city. You will be told what you must do." Those traveling with him stood there speechless. They heard the voice, but saw no one. After they picked Saul up from the ground, he opened his eyes, but he couldn't see. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and neither ate nor drank anything. In Damascus there was a certain disciple named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision. "Ananias?" He answered, "Yes, Lord." The Lord instructed him, "Go to Judas' house on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias enter and put his hands on him to restore his sight." Ananias countered, "Lord, I have heard many reports about this man. People say he has done horrible things to your holy people in Jerusalem. He's here with authority from the chief priests to arrest everyone who calls on your name." The Lord replied, "Go, this man is the agent I have chosen to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Ananias went to the house. He placed his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord sent me, Jesus, who appeared to you on the way as you were coming here. He sent me so that you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, flakes fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After eating, he regained his strength. He stayed with the disciples in Damascus for several days. Right away, he began to preach about Jesus in the synagogues. "He is God's Son," he declared. Everyone who heard him was baffled. They questioned each other, "Isn't he the one who was wreaking havoc among those in Jerusalem who called on this name? Hadn't he come here to take those same people as prisoners to the chief priests?" But Saul grew stronger and stronger. He confused the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After this had gone on for some time, the Jews hatched a plot to kill Saul. However, he found out about their scheme. They were keeping watch at the city gates around the clock so they could assassinate him. But his disciples took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the city wall. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. They didn't believe he was really a disciple. Then Barnabas brought Saul to the apostles and told them the story about how Saul saw the Lord on the way and that the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them about the confidence with which Paul had preached in the name of Jesus in Damascus. After this, Saul moved freely among the disciples in Jerusalem and was speaking with confidence in the name of the Lord. He got into debates with the Greek-speaking Jews as well, but they tried to kill him. When the family of believers learned about this, they escorted him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. God strengthened the church, and its life was marked by reverence for the Lord. Encouraged by the Holy Spirit, the church continued to grow in numbers. As Peter toured the whole region, he went to visit God's holy people in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been confined to his bed for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." At once he got up. Everyone who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. Her life overflowed with good works and compassionate acts on behalf of those in need. About that time, though, she became so ill that she died. After they washed her body, they laid her in an upstairs room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, when the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two people to Peter. They urged, "Please, come right away." Peter went with them. Upon his arrival, he was taken to the upstairs room. All the widows stood beside him, crying as they showed the tunics and other clothing Dorcas made when she was alive. Peter sent everyone out of the room, then knelt and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. He gave her his hand and raised her up. Then he called God's holy people, including the widows, and presented her alive to them. The news spread throughout Joppa, and many put their faith in the Lord. Peter stayed for some time in Joppa with a certain tanner named Simon. Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray, about the 6th hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and an object, like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descended to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done 3 times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, 3 men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied them, and the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I ask then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Well, beloved, in Acts 10, we're introduced to Cornelius, a Roman centurion, an officer in the Roman army. Now, this was not a typical Roman because he was a devout believer in the God of the Jews, even though, being a Gentile, the average Jew would have very little, if anything, to do with him. As a matter of fact, most Jews would have a strong dislike or even hate him. After all, Rome was an occupying force in Israel, and they treated the Jews with disdain. But Cornelius was what the Jews of the time called a God-fearer, a Gentile who loved the God of Israel, but who did not become Jews in how they lived their lives or in circumcision. Jews came to respect them, but they couldn't fully embrace them because they were Gentiles and had not become Jewish converts. Now, we know that God loved and heard Cornelius' prayers because God gave him a vision of an angel while he was in prayer, with a message telling him to send some men to Joppa to bring Peter to speak to him. And the next day, while Peter's praying, God speaks to him in a vision. And God shows Peter a large sheet filled with all kinds of animals, some of which Peter would consider kosher and some that were not. God tells Peter to kill and eat some of them. And then, in typical Peter fashion, he says, No, Lord, I've never eaten anything that wasn't kosher. God tells him, What I've made clean, you must not call unclean. This happens 3 times, and then the sheet with the animals was taken back up to heaven. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said about this. He said, Peter had pretty much put God in a box of limitations, and now God was going to shake Peter up to change his thinking. He can do the same for us. Shake yourself up a little, my brother. If you're too precise, may the Lord set you on fire and consume your bonds of red tape. If you have become so improperly proper that you cannot commit a proper impropriety, then pray to God to help you be less proper, for there are many who will never be saved by your instrumentality while you study propriety. I like that. Isn't it interesting that at this point in his life, God has used Peter mightily for his kingdom? Remember Peter's first sermon? About 3,000 souls believed and were saved. And every day, souls were added to the church because of how God was using him. But Peter was still Peter. God uses us despite our own imperfections. If we're willing to follow, He's willing to use us. So this vision was shown to Peter three times. Reminds me of the three times Peter denied Jesus on the night he was betrayed. I believe God repeated this three times so that Peter would get the idea that God was serious, and to make him see that he was not just talking about food. And while Peter was thinking about this, the men sent by Cornelius show up looking for him, and the Holy Spirit tells Peter to go to them, doubting nothing, because he, the Holy Spirit, sent them. By now, Peter seems to have gotten the larger message about what God declares clean, Peter should not call unclean. He invites these Gentiles into his home, which is something no Jew would have done. Remember, Peter is now a Christian, but he's also a Jew. And God, on this day, has enlarged Peter's heart to embrace the Gentiles. The next day, Peter goes with these men to the home of Cornelius, who is waiting and prepared to meet him. And he has even invited guests and family members to hear what Peter has to say. When he arrives, Cornelius falls at his feet and begins to worship him, but Peter stops him and lifts him up, saying, "Stand up, I'm a man just like you." Wow, Peter gets it. We're all the same in the eyes of God. We're all the same in the eyes of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, through him, might be saved. So Peter preaches a salvation message to Cornelius and his household, and while he's still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they were saved. Then Peter said, "Let's have a baptism." What a powerful message this chapter has for us today, beloved. We as a culture are more divided than I have ever experienced in my almost 67 years of life. We're politically divided, we're racially divided, we're economically divided. It doesn't have to be this way. This is not of God. This is of the enemy. People need the Lord today as much as they ever have. We need to do what Peter did. We need to tell how Jesus came to seek and save the lost. What are your thoughts? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. To find out what Bible translation I use today, go to the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com and look for episode number 297. And could I ask a favor of you? Go to that same show notes page there at bible.lifespringmedia.com, episode 297, and find the box that says "Review Us on Podchaser." Click on that and rate the show. I'd appreciate it. Tomorrow, we'll be reading James 4 and 5. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. All people are the same in God's eyes. Bye.